Von 0 auf 100. Aral feiert 100 Jahre mit über 100.000 Gewinnen. Zum Beispiel ein Jahr frei tanken. Jetzt ein Dankeschön, rubbellos zu jedem Einkauf. Alle Infos auf aral.de. Aral, alles super.
Elbphilharmonie Talk, der Gesprächspodcast der Elbphilharmonie.
Herzlich willkommen zum Elbphilharmonie Talk. Mein Name ist Julian Konrad und ich arbeite im Marketing- und Kommunikationsteam der Elbphilharmonie, wo ich unter anderem einen weiteren Podcast produziere, Elbphilharmonie Offstage. Diese Woche haben wir die großartige Musikerin Anushka Shankar zu Gast im Haus. Sie kuratiert ein eigenes Reflektor-Festival 4 Tage lang. Anfang dieser Woche hatte ich die Möglichkeit, schon mal vorab ein kleines Gespräch über dieses Festival mit ihr zu führen. 2 kleine Reminder vorweg. Die Verbindung unseres Instagram-Live-Gesprächs war in der Mitte kurz gestört, gegen Minute 10. Wir mussten das Gespräch 2-mal unterbrechen und außerdem ist das gesamte Gespräch mit ihr natürlich auf Englisch. Viel Spaß!
We are speaking today with acclaimed sitar virtuoso, songwriter, film composer and 7-time Grammy nominee Anushka Shankar. She's one of the leading voices in the world combining Indian music with the current stream of Western pop music. Anushka will be hosting a Reflektor Festival here at the Elbphilharmonie this weekend, starting Thursday and then taking place in all the halls of the Elbphilharmonie until Sunday. I will now invite Anushka to the call. And while we are waiting for her, I can introduce you the concept of our Reflektor Festival. The Reflektor Festival is a format where we invite artists to curate and design an entire program here at the Elbphilharmonie over several days, like a kind of carte blanche. The artists are free to choose whether they will perform themselves or they invite well-known collaborators or just invite artists they simply want to see. Wait a second. To get Anushka on the call. There you are.
Hi.
Welcome, Anushka. Glad you're here. Where are you joining us from right now? Looks like you're
I'm in London. I'm at home in London, yeah.
Okay, perfect.
Just getting ready to come to Hamburg in a few days. So.
That's great. Yeah, your home is probably a place where you spend more time than you wished the last years, maybe.
Not this one. I actually moved in March because I was going to move during lockdown, and then because of lockdown everything got delayed, so I actually took my kids and moved into my mom's house for a while, so it actually feels really good to be here. It still feels new.
Yeah, that's great. How does it feel this Reflektor Festival is postponed a year? We already planned with you a year ago and had the whole program ready, and now you're finally coming. How does this feel for you?
I mean, there's 5% of me that still feels nervous to just get fully excited, because obviously last year it was a few days before the festival that we had to postpone because of lockdown. But, you know, universe willing, it looks like we're in a good place and that in a few days I'll be in Hamburg with you. So it feels, you know, it felt exciting 2 years ago when we started planning it. It felt exciting last year when it was supposed to happen. So now it's 2 years in the making. And so the excitement is through the roof, really, because I just feel really like finally we're going to do this.
Yeah, I just told the audience a little bit about this Reflektor concept, that it is like a carte blanche, that you have total freedom to curate a program that really is what you want the world to listen to. Maybe could you explain the key idea you had in mind while curating this specific program for the Elbphilharmonie?
Well, I mean, first of all, I just want to say what an honor it is to get to do something like this, because, of course, I mean, I've played at the Elbphilharmonie before and it's one of the most iconic venues, and to be given a chance to curate a whole weekend there is such a joy. You know, it was really immediately so exciting to know that I had a chance to share that stage with other musicians who I love. And that was, I suppose, the main premise was musicians that I love. You know, who do I really enjoy listening to? But then I thought, obviously, you know, you've had other people curate Reflektors. And so when it's me, it obviously felt important for the context to be primarily focused on Indian music, not just Indian classical music, but eventually I started thinking Indian music, then Indian music from the diaspora, so Indian artists from around the world. And I thought, well, South Asian artists from around the world, not just from India, so also Sri Lanka, Pakistan, Singapore. And so really, I just thought it would be nice to challenge what people think of when you say Indian music or South Asian music, because the festival is very diverse in genre, even though what we have in common is that we have South Asian roots. So we have classical Indian music, we have electronic music, we have jazz, we have everything in between. And I'm really just excited to listen to everyone and be a part of the festival as well. I'll be playing twice within the festival too.
Yeah, we're excited as well. And something that we nearly overlooked here at the team, I saw it in the comment as well, is that the festival is now directly at the dates of the Diwali festival, which is like the most important Hindi festival in the year. Could you maybe explain to our German and European audiences what the meaning of Diwali is and how important or how coincidental that this is?
Well, it's one of the most important Hindu festivals, and yet it's also important for other communities from India as well. I mean, it's celebrated, you know, nationally across India and by the diaspora around the world. Diwali is the festival of lights. It is the time that we mark the sort of triumph of good over evil and the idea that you can have hope in times of darkness, of moving into the light again. And so it's a very beautiful and uplifting and positive festival. And, you know, it's one of those strange things because obviously this festival was supposed to take part last year. It was supposed to happen a year ago. And then we moved the festival to these dates, not knowing at the time that it would be Diwali. So for me, it feels like a really auspicious and beautiful coincidence that we get to open the festival on Diwali. That just feels like an incredible, wonderful vibration for me that I hope people will come and enjoy and celebrate with us.
Will there be any surprises awaiting the visitors to really like dive into the culture and really like get to know this festival in your festival?
Well, alongside all of the performances, we also have various workshops that delve into the music and the art forms a bit more in detail throughout the weekend. But we also, when we found out it was Diwali, we did plan some extra events for the opening night as well to mark Diwali.
Okay. Let's focus a bit on the individual concerts and start on the opening night directly. There are two concerts on this evening, one with Indrani Mukherjee and North Indian ragas, and then an evening with Carnatic South Indian music with Aruna Sairam. Can you give us a little bit an idea of the importance of the status of those two artists in their own art form?
I mean, they're both incredible artists. They're both incredible female vocalists. And they are two vocalists who I find deeply inspiring. And I really loved the idea of, in the course of one evening, presenting the two different styles, to have the Carnatic music and the Hindustani music represented both by female vocalists so that you can really hear the differences in style. I find Indrani Mukherjee really to be a very spiritual and meditative artist when she sings. I feel like I really get very centered in myself and can really experience something quite introverted and beautiful when she sings. Aruna Sairam, you know, the first time I heard her, I was just blown away. She has so much, you know, knowledge and awareness of the Carnatic music tradition. And when she sings, she brings so much joy and fun onto the stage. Like she's reached that point of expertise where she can just have fun with it and bring the audience along with her for that ride as well.
The Indian classical music is the one key part of the festival, and you already mentioned the music of the Indian diaspora, mainly from the London scene, is the other part. The next evening, there's a concert of Shumik Datta, who's, like you said a lot of times, one of the most interesting persons of this London diaspora. Can you give a glimpse of the music of Shumik Datta? What does he do?
Shumik, a bit like me, does a lot of different things. So it's hard to say in one sentence what he does, because it might depend on the particular album that he's working on, that he'll go and create a new band, make a new sound, you know. And that's part of what makes him very interesting, but difficult to explain. First and foremost, he's an incredible sarod player. The sarod is probably, you know, the parallel to the sitar. It's the other most well-known North Indian classical instrument, a string instrument. So yeah, he's just an incredible sarod player, but he's also a very creative composer. And he thinks very much outside of the box and outside of boundaries. So he writes for his instrument, but he also writes in these very eclectic ways, incorporating other instrumentation in electronics. And so what he'll be presenting in Hamburg is, you know, a mix of styles and a completely new sound. So it's very exciting. I don't know. Can you guys still hear me? I think we are having trouble hearing each other. So I think it's Elbphilharmonie that's gone funny in that case. So I will keep talking to you guys until they come back. So on the 5th of November, after Shomik Datta, you can come and hear me play. I am performing a special show called Shiraz. And this is a 1928 film from India, a silent film that's a very incredible rare print of one of the first three films made in India. And I've done a live score for it, and I'll be presenting it with seven other musicians.
I hope you are all not experiencing the problems I had with Anushka.
Hi.
There you are back. Sorry, I don't know. Maybe the internet connection in the Elbphilharmonie isn't as good today. I heard you talking about Shomik Datta. I don't know how much you talked, maybe.
I think some of the people commented that they could still hear me, so I talked a bit more about Shiraz as well after that. But in case anyone missed that, I'm basically playing that same evening after Shomik Datta on the 5th of November. I'll be presenting my live film score, Shiraz, which is a score I wrote to support this incredible film called Shiraz, made in 1928 in India. And it's just a beautiful piece of work. One of the first three films ever made in India, silent film, but an incredible production, a beautiful story. And we play in front of the film, so you get to enjoy a film and the music together, which I hope people will enjoy.
So we exchanged the
third
phones.
Time. Maybe. We'll try the last.
Now it's working. last try. Otherwise, I don't know about the connection. But yeah.
Otherwise, just basically everyone just come to Hamburg.
Yeah, that's the most important part. Everyone's coming to Hamburg. We know there's going to be a huge lineup. Maybe we can go skip through the rest of the program in a little bit. We have another concert of the London scene with Sarati Korwa.
Yes, this will be on the sixth night. Sarati Korwa is performing, and he is just one of the most amazing musicians and a dear friend. He, I saw him perform with his group and his new album, More, arriving a year for COVID, 2 years ago. And it was just one of the most unbelievable shows. It's so exciting. He's so virtuosic and so inventive. So his show is going to be amazing. And I think on the same day earlier on will be Maithili Prakash, who is honestly one of my favorite dancers. She's a deeply soulful, deeply virtuosic dancer in the Bharatanatyam style, the South Indian style of India, and one of the seven classical styles of India, but it's from the South. And yet within that, she's very innovative as well with her choreography. And this piece is, I think, going to be really special, and it's a world premiere. So that's really exciting.
Yeah, I think dance is one of the main the focus points of this festival as well that you try to focus on.
Sunday we have a double bill on the Sunday of again an incredible musician, a wonderful, wonderful musician called Nabia Iqbal, and she'll be followed by Akash Odedra, who is an unbelievable dancer who kind of comes from twin roots of Kathak, the North Indian classical style of India, and also contemporary dance. And his choreography is just mind-blowing. And I think in this piece, he'll be presenting some works where other incredible, legendary choreographers have made work for him. And, you know, we'll just be able to see his skill. He's a deeply heartful and virtuosic dancer. So that will be really special. And then I'll close the festival after that performing Love Letters, which is my latest EP and album. And I'm really proud of this show. You know, it's a show with a lot of wonderful female musicians and singers on it. A couple of wonderful guys as well, but it's, I'd say, 70% female band. And they're just all really wonderful to get to play with. And the songs are very vulnerable and intimate. So I'm kind of looking forward to playing a big venue like the main room at Elbphilharmonie and kind of trying to create a real feeling of intimacy within that space. So I'm looking forward to that challenge, and I hope it will be a beautiful show for people.
I think one thing we missed out, I don't know if it was between the both interruptions.
The
late night shows.
Yes, I wanted to go back to that.
A special thing as well, because it's like the most, I think for you, unknown things or the unknown themes that are a little bit of a special journey as well. Tell us about this approach.
Yeah, I mean, with the late nights, I was so pleased You know, what was happening when I was programming my 4 days is I was running out of slots. I just wanted so much more space to put all these musicians I loved. And I was so happy that the Elbe Philharmonie was excited about putting on the late nights as well to kind of create a different atmosphere in the evenings on the Friday and Saturday night, where we can be a bit more eclectic, a bit more niche, or also a bit more wild. So, you know, over the course of the late nights, on the first late night, which I guess is the Friday, the 5th, we have Bishi and Nurm doing the late night for us. And Bishi, you know, like me, she plays the sitar, but you know, from there she does something completely different. She plays more kind of electric sitar, and she stands up and sings operatically and loops these incredible harmonies while she plays. So it's something very, very unique. And Nurm is a dear friend of mine and an incredible DJ, and he's presenting a live electronic set that should get people moving as much as safely possible within the distancing space, but it should be a nice night. And then the following one is two women. Sasha Pereira is someone I'm really looking forward to hearing live. I haven't had the chance to do that yet, but she's a British born but living in German Indian diaspora, or Sri Lankan diaspora, forgive me. And she sounds like an amazing musician and should give us a really, really beautiful set. And finally, also on that night is Arushi Jain, who I've known for many years because she studied at my father's music center when she was like a kid or a teenager. And now she's released a new album called Under the Lilac Sky. And she is fascinating because she takes her classical Indian vocal training and music training, and alongside that kind of, you know, works with her modular synthesizer and creates these incredible sounds and textures, but also kind of programs it within raga modes and melody forms so that you kind of create this world that's sort of Indian classical, but not in a really fascinating way.
So I think for everyone watching, I think it's a must go. Such a diverse world of music that you're going to present there. We have a little bit of time left, and I wanted to give the viewers the chance to ask you anything about the festival that they want to know. Maybe not like technical things to the Elbphilharmonie about tickets, but more like questions to you, to your programming. And while we have a little bit of time to collect all these questions, if there are questions there, I wanted to ask you a little bit about your connection to Hamburg. You played at the Elbphilharmonie once, and now you're coming back. How does it feel? Are you excited to the hall again?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, it's definitely one of the most memorable venues I've ever played at. I was there with Land of Gold, which was an album of mine written in response to the ongoing refugee crisis a few years ago. And I really remember that show. I really remember the audience. It's a very special place. And you know, I think for me, this is exciting for multiple reasons, because it's my festival. I'm also performing. We're coming back to that amazing venue. And also because, you know, so many of the artists playing are friends of mine, we'll be staying there. We'll be coming to each other's shows. So I think it will be a really beautiful atmosphere.
Hopefully not too much stress visiting all the concerts, so you can really, really enjoy everything.
I'm looking forward to, I mean, after all this time of hardly getting to see any music and dance, yeah, you know, getting 4 days of watching and experiencing art is a dream come true. Someone asked in the comments, how does it feel to play live again? Which I have no words for that, honestly. I did my first show with an audience, that is, you know, because I think we've all done some of those remote concerts and things, live streams. But in May, I did my first show with an audience in London. And, you know, even just walking out to that applause and knowing that we were all together and that people were in the room together, breathing together, sharing space together, it just felt incredible. And it's what I do. It's what it's for. So getting to do that again just feels like that part of me has come alive again.
Yeah. And I think to have it like condensed in such a 4-day festival is I think more intense than like to tour around this thing. I think it's
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, getting to do two shows in one place is lovely, and yeah, I think it'll be great.
I can personally say I'm really, really, really looking forward to Thursday, to all the concerts, to this great lineup of artists from India and from London and all around. And thank you very much for joining us. Excuse the technical difficulties, and I think to everyone watching, I hope to see you on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. There are still tickets available. We are very much looking forward to seeing you here in Germany.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Elbphilharmonie Talk, der Gesprächspodcast der Elbphilharmonie.
Im Frühling steigt so einiges. Die Temperaturen, die Stimmung und die Partys draußen. Nur die Preise, die sinken jetzt bei vielen Produkten langfristig. Entdecke die neuen niedrigen Preise. Sogar bei vielen Möbeln für draußen in deinem IKEA und auf IKEA.de.
Von 0 auf 100. Aral feiert 100 Jahre mit über 100.000 Gewinnen. Zum Beispiel ein Jahr frei tanken. Jetzt ein Dankeschön, rubbellos zu jedem Einkauf. Alle Infos auf aral.de. Aral, alles super.